Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. John chapter 4 is where we're going to be at this morning. If you want to go ahead and find John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. Kids, if y'all want to go with Miss Holly this morning. Wow. Exciting. Boy, I tell you what. Thank you for the person who gave generously today. We appreciate that. I tell you what, never gets old hearing their responses to the offering. Oh, man. All right. Never a dull moment, right? Never a dull moment. All right. John chapter 4. We're going to close out John chapter 4 today. Let me just kind of go ahead and give you a preview. The next 2 weeks as we look at Easter, we're actually going to do something a little different, something I've wanted to do for a while and never got around to doing it, so we're going to do it this year. We're going to talk, we're going to do it at Easter, too. I mean at Christmas too. So we're going to be in the next two Sundays, so Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we're going to be looking at Easter through the Psalms. So we're going to look at Easter through the Psalms, and then we're going to do it at Christmas as well. We're going to do Christmas through the Psalms. We've got a couple Psalms that we're going to look at, Psalm 22, 24, and 16 in the next 2 weeks. That's kind of where I see us going as we lay those out. So we'll take a break from John for a few weeks. let me give you a heads up. I know this seems like a really long way away, but after Easter, it will be here before we know it. May 1st, this was not in your bulletin, this was free, forgot to mention it. May 1st, our association is having a missions conference. We've tried to have this mission conference for 2 years. It was supposed to be in 2020. That got delayed, and then we were going to have it in 2021, and that got delayed, and so we're having it this year, May 1st. And so that weekend, we'll have a guest missionary speaker on that Sunday, May 1st, and then we're having a big celebration of missions with speakers and music and preaching and food, I believe, all out at Mountain View that Sunday night. So I know you normally don't do anything on Sunday night, but I'd love to see you out there. And so I want you to go ahead and put that on your calendar. That's May 1st. So we're going to be out of John for a little bit, and we'll probably get back into John here and there, and then we'll get a few in the summer, and then we'll pick back up in strength definitely in the fall. So we're going to finish chapter 4 today. We'll kind of take a break from John, and then we'll kind of get back in it probably after sometime in late mid to late May, okay? So that's kind of where we're headed. All right, so here we go. John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. Let's read them. They're in your, you can read them in your Bible, on your tablet, on your iPhone, or on the screen. So here we go. Verse 46. So he, that's Jesus, came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. Let's stop right there for a minute, okay? Here's the setting. So if you'll remember, previously last week, if you weren't here last week, catch you up. Jesus had been in Samaria for the first 45 verses, or 44 verses or so. And after he had been in Samaria, in Sychar specifically, where he had had the conversation with the woman at the well, and many had believed in Jesus, not because of the testimony of the woman, John says, but because they heard Jesus themselves. So, They asked him to stay there for 2 days. So he stays in the Samaritan city of Sychar for 2 days. That 2 days is gone, and him and his disciples have journeyed back to Galilee, which is where Jesus was from. And the story takes place with Jesus is again in Cana, which is where he turned the water into wine. All right, now, that's where Jesus is at, but the last half of the verse gives us a hint of what is going to happen in the future. Because at Capernaum, there was an official's son who was ill. Now, let me kind of explain official, okay? Because official could be anybody. The word here is literally translated as royal official. We would understand that better as court official, okay? And some of your translations may say that. Basically, this guy worked for, most likely, since he's titled as a royal official, or the king's official is maybe even more literal, he worked in the court of the king. the reference is to King Herod Antipas, who was the ruler or tetrarch of Galilee. Now, when you hear the name Herod, naturally we think of Herod who killed all the babies in Matthew's gospel, right? That's not the same guy. Herod the Great is the one who killed all the babies. This guy's boss is Herod the Great's son. Okay? Two different people. So Herod Antipas, this guy works in the court of Herod Antipas, and he's at Capernaum, and he had a son who was ill. Let's keep reading. Verse 47. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea, which is where Jerusalem is, to Galilee, which is where he's at now in Cana, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, the question is, why would the royal official think that Jesus could do anything about his son? Well, the answer is pretty easy. John tells us in 4:45, so at the, earlier in the gospel, sorry, that a lot of people in Galilee had heard of what Jesus had done in Judea, right? And so they received him well because they had heard about all that he had taught and all the many signs and wonders that he had done while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast. So clearly word has gotten back to even Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee, in Galilee, in the district of Galilee, of all that Jesus had done prior to getting there. That means word had traveled fast. Plus, by this time, it's clear that what happened at the wedding in John chapter 2 with the turning of water into wine, that had spread around as well. And so this royal official of the court of Herod Antipas says, I've got to go to this Jesus guy because maybe he can help my son. So he goes. Now, interestingly enough, and this is going to be key for later on, he asked him, so the royal official asked Jesus to come down and heal his son. Now, why would he ask Jesus to come down to heal his son? Two reasons, geographically and logically. Geographically, they were separated. The two towns were separated by about 20 miles. Capernaum was literally on the Sea of Galilee, so it's on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. Cana was in the mountains, so literally the Jesus would have had to come down off the high ground or the highlands to get down to the city. But logically as well, where was Jesus at when he turned the water into wine? In the house? Not a trick question. At the party, right? Okay. When he talked to Nicodemus, where was Jesus at? Right beside Nicodemus. When he talked to the woman at the well, where was he in relation to the woman at the well? Near at the well, right? So logically, it would make sense that in order for Jesus to heal the guy's son, where does Jesus have to be in relation to the son? Right near him, right? Because who could heal somebody from 20 miles away? Right? So he literally asked Jesus to come down and heal his son. Now, it says right here, for he was at the point of death. Later in the story, in just a second, when we get down there, we'll see that the son has a fever that is killing him. Right? It's causing whatever issue he has is causing a fever, and he's literally about to die. And so with haste, the guy runs to find Jesus 20 miles away in the highlands of Galilee and asks Jesus to come down because in his mind, logically, Jesus got to be near my son to heal my son. All right. Now, here's where it gets good. Verse 48. So Jesus said to him, now I'm going to go ahead and say some of y'all are going to think Jesus is cold-hearted and mean, but we're going to talk about this for a little bit because this is the key phrase in this kind of key idea that Jesus is trying to get across. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Told you. Old Jesus, boy, cold-hearted and mean. Or is he? Now, this is a point where our English Bibles unfortunately, don't give us enough color in the sentence to really explain what Jesus is saying. So let's break it down for a little bit, because Jesus is not as cold-hearted as it first appears. In fact, Jesus is not cold-hearted at all here. He's actually doing the man a great benefit by making this statement. Now, here are the phrases that we've got to talk about. See the two you's? Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. When we read this sentence, come here, Tucker. I'll use you as an example. Come here. All you have to do is stand right here, okay? When we read this sentence, here's what we think Jesus is doing. Tucker's going to play the man. I am unfortunately going to play the part of Jesus, okay? Here's what we think Jesus is doing. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Great job. You can go sit down. Okay? Told you. Pretty easy. All right. That's what we think Jesus is doing, right? But we've got to examine the two you's and the not in this sentence. Now you think, how can a you and a not be a you? How can it not be you and not? Okay? Here's how. All right? The two you statements, those two words, are actually plural, not singular. See, this is where a redneck approved version of the Bible would be really helpful, because if it said, unless y'all see signs and wonders, y'all won't believe, we'd automatically know, oh, he's doing this, not that. Right? And the not is actually a double negative. But for those of you who are English majors, you know that you can't do correct English grammar with a double negative, can you? But in Greek, they do double negatives to get across about how not somebody won't do something. Okay? So let's kind of put this more color translation on this verse. Unless y'all don't see signs and wonders, y'all won't never, ever believe. Now, how does that change how we interpret the verse? Jesus is not saying, hey, guy who just asked me to come heal your son, you won't see, unless you don't see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. So what does that tell? Well, that's not what he's doing. So what does that tell us? A, there's more people listening to this conversation than just this guy and Jesus. See, when you first read the story, you think this is a conversation between just Jesus and the guy, but there's other people around. And so Jesus is saying, all y'all Galileans ain't going to believe in me unless y'all see signs. That's really the redneck approved version, right? Y'all ain't never, ever going to see, throw a triple negative in there on him, right? That's what Jesus is saying. So how does that affect our translation, our interpretation of the verse? Jesus is not being cold-hearted. What he's doing is pointing to a fact that John has already mentioned in chapter 2. If you flip back to chapter 2 and you read verses 23 and 24, John already highlighted this fact and how it was going to come up again. Listen to what he says in verses 23 and 24, John chapter 2. This is an editorial comment by John. John says, now when he was in Jerusalem, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs and wonders that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about him, for he himself knew, he knew what was in people. In other words, and when we talked about this passage, here's what we said. Jesus wasn't going to trust he wasn't going to place all the weight of his trust on people, because he knew the only reason they were believing in him is because he was doing great signs and wonders. That's what John said in chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. And what do we have in chapter 4, 46 through 54? A guy who is coming to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Messiah of the world, Son of God? No. Because he is a miracle worker. And in fact, if you go to the verse 45 of chapter 4. Here's what John writes in another editorial comment. So when Jesus came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. Why? Because he's the Savior of the world? Nope. Having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So why were all these Galileans around Jesus? And why did this royal official who was in the court of Herod Antipas come all the 20 miles to find Jesus to bring him back down to his son? Because for this guy, Jesus was nothing more than a miracle worker. And what Jesus is pointing out to him, as one commentator said, he was kind of explaining this passage and what Jesus, the heart of what Jesus was getting at. Jesus, in essence, is saying to this guy, if I hadn't done miracles, you would have never sought me out. Come on now. If I had never done the miracles, or to put it in a question form, if I wasn't the miracle worker, would you have still tried to find me? And the answer is no. This guy would not have tried to find Jesus if Jesus had not have been the miracle worker. So what's Jesus trying to do? Jesus is trying to get this guy beyond the point of just seeing him as a miraculous worker or a cool dude who does crazy things. He's trying to get him to, you know, he's not the sideshow at the fair. Because that's what he is for everybody. That's why they welcomed him. That's why in John 6:66, which we'll see in the fall, when Jesus makes a hard saying, many walk away. Because at that point, some of them are realizing, oh, Jesus ain't just the sideshow character anymore who does whatever we want him to do. There's more to this. And that's what Jesus is trying to get this guy to realize. He is trying to challenge him so that he will see the inadequacy of his personal faith. Let me read you one quote from a commentator named Herman Ritterboss. Here's what he said. I think it's a masterful way to sum up this question in verse 48. For Jesus to make an issue of the inadequacy of miracle-oriented faith at this moment shows how serious Jesus was in not wanting to be misunderstood. I mean, think about it. The guy is coming to Jesus and saying, my son is dying. And Jesus says, yeah, I know that, but your faith is inadequate. So for Jesus to do that in the midst of that moment shows Jesus really serious about how you understand him and the nature of faith. All right. In his miracle, both for the sake of his mission and for the sake of the man himself. Jesus, listen to this. This is wonderful. Jesus was not content simply to heal the man's son. He did not want to leave the man stuck halfway on the road of faith. Jesus did not only want to give the son back to the father, he wanted to give himself to the father. Thus, verse 48 is not so much of an accusation as it is a challenge. What Jesus is trying to do in this passage is to challenge the guy to examine his own personal faith. Am I going to be just the sideshow miracle worker? Or am I going to be the Savior of the world, the Son of God to you? Because those two things, there's a world of difference between the two. Right? So that's what Jesus says, verse 49. Undeterred, the official says, Sir, look at his words, come down before my child dies. Undeterred, he presses Jesus, you got to come down. Verse 50. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. Does Jesus go down to Capernaum? No. What does he say? Go, your son will live. Now this is the crucial moment. All right. This is the intersection of faith, which we all face as well in different moments, in different circumstances. The guy has a choice. He's either going to believe Jesus or he's going to go, but wait, now hold on now, hold on now, hold on, whoa, hold on. Like, no, I need you to, he's going to hem-haw with Jesus. What does John tell us? He does. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Let's finish the story out. As he was going down, so this is the next day, as he was going down from Cana to Capernaum, his servant met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked, or the royal official asked them the hour that he began. Now, listen, this is crucial. Asked, when did he start getting better? They, the servant, said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Look at verse 53. The father knew, look at how John words it. The father knew that that was the hour when who? When Jesus said to him, your son will leave. And he himself believed, and all his household. Now I want to stop right there. That little phrase, and he himself, at the end of verse 53, he himself believed, and all his household. That is a standard like New Testament phrasing to show that they transitioned from believing in Jesus as the sideshow miracle worker to the Son of God. We would say that they became Christ followers. That little statement is what that means, okay? And so through this scenario, they move from being Jesus as the sideshow miracle worker who's cool and does whatever we ask him to do and does miraculous things to, oh no, this guy is more than that. He's the Christ. Verse 54 finishes the story out. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. All right. We've got to do a few things this morning, right? So we've seen this guy. He comes to Jesus. He's adamant that he goes to Jesus because he believes Jesus is the sideshow miracle worker. Jesus challenges that nature of belief in Jesus and said, it is inadequate. If you're going to be a part of me, that's an inadequate version of faith. And through that quick conversation, Jesus heals the man's son. The man then believes Jesus, leaves, and ends up becoming a follower of Christ and his whole household by the end of the story. So the question that we have to ask is, what are we to make of this? What are we to make of this? Well, we learn several things. Number one, we learn that Jesus has power, miracle-working power, even at a distance. Previous to this, Jesus has been near. He's been near to the water and wine. He's been near to Nicodemus. He's been near to the woman at the well. He was in the temple when he cleansed the temple, right? Jesus has been in the same vicinity as the action that he has done. Here today, where's Jesus at? 20 miles-ish away. In the highlands. Where's the boy at? Down at the coast, on the Sea of Galilee. And so Jesus' power extends not just to those that are near, but to those that are far. Okay? Here's the other thing we learn. Jesus had power in John chapter 2, the water or the wine, over physical elements of changing the atomic makeup of items. Here, Jesus has power in people's lives to physically heal someone who is on their deathbed. So we see a whole new characteristic of Jesus' power and his authority in the world over physical elements, atomic structure, over disease, and in people's lives, right? But here's the kind of the main crux to the story is we see the nature of faith, and particularly our faith, is challenged, right? Because see, some of us walked in here today, and this may not be the general tenor of our life, but we lean more toward the sideshow miracle worker side of Jesus, right? Hey, look, we've even prayed prayers similar to this. Hey, Lord, if you'll just do this, I'll do blank. If you'll just help me on this test, I promise I'll study more next time. Come on. I know some of y'all prayed that. I prayed that prayer. And then until my youth pastor said, hey, that's kind of a bad prayer to pray because if you didn't study, it's kind of hard for the Lord to recall it to your memory. So I started, a little pro tip here for y'all that are still in school. I started studying and then praying, hey, Lord, help me remember what I did study. So it wasn't a lie.
That's right.
Come on now, right? But we've prayed these, hey, if you'll help my crops grow, I promise I'll tithe more this year. If you'll help my business succeed, I promise I... That sideshow Jesus. Because would you tithe and would you give and would you be faithful to Him if the crops burned and the fields failed and the cows died and everything happened like to Job or not? Because if you'd say, nah, I don't know about that, then you're on the sideshow side of faith. You know, because it's do you believe in Jesus or do you not? Do you believe in Jesus if that's all you have? Do you believe in Christ and give everything to Him if that's all you got? Or is it, well, I'll do that if I get all this over here too? That's not how it works. Here's the amazing thing to me. Not only does it challenge the type of faith we have, but listen to this. This is why I drew you in to ask you to pay attention the way that John words the phrase. Miss Kathy, can you go back to verse 53, I think it is? Verse 53, I think it's verse 53. Yes, all right, look at what he says. The Father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said, your son will live. So look at me. When did the boy get healed? Did the boy get healed when Jesus said, go, your son will live? Or when the man chose not to hem haul and left? This is important. When did the boy get healed? Did he get healed at the moment? Did he start getting better at the moment Jesus said, go, your son will live? Or did he start getting better when the father left? What's the text tell us? The father knew that was the hour when what happened? When he... No. Jesus had said to him, your son will live. Listen to me. The boy was healed the moment Jesus, or was in the getting better stage, the moment Jesus spoke the words, not when the father left. So what's the... Okay, all right, great. So what's the point you're trying to make, Pastor? Look at me. Some of us have gone to Jesus and said, hey, you've offered your prayer. You've offered your version of, hey, I need help. I'm desperate. And then Jesus has answered that in some semblance, and not these exact words, but say, go your way. And you've stayed there and him hauled around. But Lord, God, come on now. Hey, ho, and you stayed and you hem hauled. And guess what? The quote unquote, I'm going to use air quotes here, the miracle is already out there and you ain't seen it because you ain't gone home. Because when does the miracle happen? It doesn't happen. Now look, there are passages in the Scripture that because the person believes, then Jesus responds. Right? In fact, there's a very similar story to this one right here in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But it's a Roman official, I think, who comes to, or centurion or something, who comes to Jesus and they plead with Jesus, and Jesus says such something to the effect of, I have not found as great a faith in all of Israel as in this person right here. Go, your son will be healed. Right? That doesn't happen in this story. This is a different story. And what this story highlights is that sometimes the miracle is out there waiting on us, quote unquote, and I'm not trying to be all like, I'm not trying to be health, wealth, and prosperity. Put it in more little bat. Jesus done answered your prayer, and you ain't seen it yet because you still him hauling around, waiting to see the sign, then you'll believe. That's Jesus' sideshow miracle faith. That's not believing in Jesus. He didn't know if his son was healed when he left, did he? He had to leave, and then he found out that the miracle was already ahead of him. That Jesus had already worked it all out before he even left. Before he turned away and said, thank you, Jesus, and went his way. His son was already getting better. That's why the servants met him on the road as he was going back home the next day. And the father knew when. When was the moment he got healed? When Jesus said, your son will live. Not when I turned around, or when the man turned around and believed in him. No. Here's my point. If you're stuck over here and Jesus is the sideshow miracle worker, there potentially, Jesus could done have worked out things in your life, but you'll never experience them because you're still him hauling around waiting to see it, then believe it. Because see, that's the issue here. That's the issue. For all of the Galileans, and for this man in particular, their faith was, when I see it, then I will believe. And Jesus is saying, that's an inadequate version of faith. Faith, as Jesus defines it, is when you believe, then you get to see. But many times for us, it's when I see it, then I'll believe it. And Jesus says, look at me, that version of faith is inadequate to fully follow after me. Now here's the amazing part. Some of us in here today, that's how we've had faith this week. But here's the amazing part. Jesus knows this is the type of faith he has and the Galileans who are listening to the story. But does Jesus turn the guy away and say, you got an inadequate version of faith? Get away from me until you figure it out. No. What does Jesus do? He invites the guy in. They have a short but meaningful conversation. But Jesus doesn't leave him the way he came. Right? So let me kind of throw this out there. This is a little side note. a lot of people in culture today will hear that, oh, well, Jesus accepted people. Jesus loved everybody. So why are you trying to be all like, means like change people's beliefs and, you know, Jesus accepts people, but he wants them to change to be more like him. And so look, some of you in here today, you came in and you may not even know you came in, but you came in with Jesus as the sideshow miracle worker. That was your faith. You might have even prayed this week, hey, Jesus, if you'll just do this, then I'll do that. And Jesus, through this story, is asking you today to, hey, come to me, but like, don't stay that way, because that's a very inadequate view of faith and our relationship with each other. Jesus wants us all to move from when I see, then I believe, to I believe. If I get to see, that's cool. If I don't, that's cool, because I believe is enough. And that's where you got to decide where you're at today. And that's kind of the challenge going forward, is which version of faith do you have? Is Jesus the sideshow miracle worker? Or are you going to believe in Jesus whether you see the miracle or not? Whether you see it today or not, whether you see it this year or not, whether you see it next week or whether you ever see it or not, are you going to believe in Jesus just because of who he is, that he's the Son of God, Savior of the world? And that's your challenge. That's what you got to answer today, is what version of faith, A, do I have? And here's kind of the more pressing issue is, what version of faith are you going to walk out of here with? Because just as in this story, Jesus is drawing you in, but he don't want you to leave the same. He wants you to leave more looking more like him. And so for some of us today, that means we got to make some decisions in your seat. We got to pray here. We got to grab a friend by the hand. And we got to make a decision that, I've honestly had sideshow miracle working Jesus type faith, and I don't want to do that anymore. And so some of you got to do this. You say, well, what if that's me? All you got to do is pray and ask Jesus to help you, fill you with his Holy Spirit, and help you have not that, but have what Jesus describes is, I'll believe in you whether I see it or not, type faith. And look, and then it's going to be a process. Because in the morning, you're going to have to pray the same thing. And on Wednesday morning, when your kids are driving you crazy or your coworkers are being nuts and office is crazy, you might going to have to pray it then too. Because some of you are going to want to say, Jesus, if you'll just take these people away, this problem away from me, I'll have a better attitude. And Jesus is like, well, maybe you should have a better attitude anyway. Anyway, you get my point. It's a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month thing. But eventually, over time, it gets easier and easier, right? So here's your challenge. Where are you at? What kind of faith? What type of faith you got? And what type of faith are you going to leave with today?
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.